This is a UK Carcast podcast. Welcome to UK Carcast, the podcast by non-sport trading car collectors for non-sport trading car collectors. I'm your host Paul Bynes and this is episode 37, The Windy City. Hello and welcome to episode 37 of UK Carcast. In this episode I talk to Paul Malaro, the founder and organiser of the Chicagoland shows. His last Chicagoland show is coming up in September of this year and I talk to him about how he got started with doing the shows and what he's got planned for the future. Before that though, as a public service for the collectors who listen to UK Carcast, I've been given details of some of the artists who are going to be appearing at the upcoming San Diego Comic-Con, and I'm going to run through quickly their stand details and also some details of where you can get some of the more interesting show exclusives. Artist Katie Cook will be in the Artist Alley at Table GG01, and on the Friday of the show, between 10 and 11, she'll be at the Arkea booth, and she'll be signing, as she puts it, fraggly things, so watch out for her there. Randy Martinez and Denise Vasquez will be doing live painting demos at the Holbein USA booth, which is number 5104 on the Saturday of the show, between 10 and 12. Bill Pulkowski is going to be in Artist Alley at Table II19. He's going to have original art, prints, books, trading cards and sketch cards, both his official ones and some of the PSCs he's done. And he's taking commissions starting at $25. Dean Ault is going to be at the show as well. He's going to be in the small press table area on N14, and that's going to be for the entire show. He's going to be launching his new book, Captain Dan Takes a Day Off, which is a sort of a cross between a storybook and a graphic novel for kids about pirate monsters. He's also going to have his first book, The Zombies Next Door, some geek hats, crocheted ones, and as he always has at his various show stands, a variety of art prints, buttons and zombie greetings cards. He's also going to be doing free head sketches in the sketchbooks and on personal sketch cards on preview night. Now those are going to be first come first serve and one per customer, so if you're going to be there on preview night, make sure to head out to his stand, which is N14. He's also going to be doing some sketches as well over the course of the weekend, and he's going to have prices on his stand. Chris Thorne is going to be at booth 1429. That's Movie Magic Screenwriter, which is script formatting software. So if you're interested in meeting up with Chris, go to booth 1429. Finally, Sidekick Labs, old friends of the podcast as they are, they're going to be involving themselves in a number of activities over the course of San Diego. There's going to be some special foil-stamped cards from the Art Hustle Series 2 set. You'll be able to find those only at the DKE Toys stand, which is at booth 4728. There's going to be a different card each day, and there's 250 of each. That's not the only stand you can get some cards. There's also an 8-card set of Ron English art. Now, you'll only be able to find those at the Toy Tokyo booth, which is stand 5437. There's 8 different puzzle backs, 2 different fronts. So if you're a fan of Sidekick's work, and let's face it, who isn't, keep an eye out on both those booths for some really nice exclusive cards. And that's it for San Diego Roundup. If you're going, I hope you have a good time. I will be doing a show report, probably in the next episode of UK Carcast. Bob Hulsart, a.k.a. Batman, is going to be my reporter on the scene. So if you actually manage to meet Bob, say hi to him. I'm sure he's going to have a great time, but it's going to be tiring on the old feet. So say hi and cheer up a Carcast reporter. And now, Paul Malaro.
Car collectors in America, at least, and throughout the world, certainly will have heard of this, will be aware that there are three key shows throughout the year, throughout the calendar year. One is SDCC, which is coming up very soon. One is the Philly show, which of course is something that Harris Tozer tends to talk about ad infinitum whenever I have him on the show. And the other is Chicagoland. And Chicagoland has been going for many years now. And I'm very pleased to say that I have got the man behind that show, Paul Malaro, speaking to me now. Paul, welcome to UK CarCast, and thank you for agreeing to come on to do an interview with me.
Well, thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Thank you. As I said in that little introduction, Chicagoland is probably as far as trading car collectors, at least, if not the wider collecting community, one of the big three shows in America throughout the year.
Yes, I do believe that is correct.
Yeah, it's certainly one of those that a lot of collectors put down in their calendar as soon as they hear the dates. How did you get started with that show?
Well, I moved on from being just a collector to being an exhibitor over the years, and then from being an exhibitor, I felt that I wanted to have a little more fun, so I decided to be a show promoter.
Hmm.
And little did I know at that time how much fun it really is. You meet a lot of different people. There's a lot of different things to tend to, a lot of different needs to tend to, and it's been very rewarding, obviously not monetarily wise, but as far as meeting people and making new friends and meeting new business contacts. And, right now, as most people know, that we're involved in charity work as well. And the current charity that we host is the Pediatric Oncology Treasure Chest Foundation.
Mm.
And they help about 7,000 children and teens every month with cancer.
Yeah.
And last September, it was marked our 10th anniversary show. And I'm very pleased for that. And there's a lot of really special things that happened last year. It also marked our 7th year hosting the foundation. We were honored with the opening of their 39th treasure chest in Richmond, Virginia.
Yeah.
Very proud of that. We were also honored by Non-Sport Update magazine as well for our service to the community, and it is truly a labor of love. Like I say, we've met a lot of really super people in this business, and I really don't treat it as a business. I treat it as a true hobby where collectors can come, pay a nominal fee for admission, and just spend the day and enjoy themselves.
It's certainly got a high reputation as far as shows are concerned. We've had people on this podcast talking about your show in the past. Harris has talked about your show, and one of my regular guests, Don Norton, who's an NSU writer, he's frequently attended your show, and he always raves over it. And I think most people who have exhibited at your shows tend to rate you amazingly highly, on the quality of collector, the quality of visitor you get coming to the show. They are usually really good guys, but also on the sheer level of service that you provide. I mean, you really go to a great deal of care and attention to look after the guys exhibiting at your shows.
Thank you. We feel it's very important to do that, and yes, we are a lot different than many, many other shows. And thing is, I personally feel this way, is having the first-hand knowledge of being a collector and an exhibitor, it kind of gives me a little insight as to what they're feeling and what their desires could be.
Mm.
And I know as a show promoter that I want to tend to their needs in such a way that, if you want to come to my show, I want you to be happy.
Mm.
I want you to enjoy yourself. I want you to be able to meet new friends, reacquaint yourself with old friends, make some trades, make some purchases, have some fantastic chances at some really good raffle prizes, and really spend a day or a weekend that you don't have to think about the day's drudgery of work and, the pressures that are so intensely increasing every day these days.
Yeah.
People need that release. They need that little vacation. And I'd like to think that we've accomplished more than that, by offering people what we do.
Yeah.
We take very good care of our guests and our artists and our exhibitors, and I feel it's very important that way.
Yeah. You mentioned earlier that last year was your 10th anniversary. Obviously, this is your 11th. Have you noticed much changed in those 11 years since you first started doing shows?
Oh, most definitely. Unfortunately, and a lot of it has to do with the economy, a lot of collectors have passed through the hobby, and surprisingly and pleasantly surprisingly, some of them are coming back to the hobby.
Yeah.
You know, they've ducked out for a few years, and whether it be, you know, due to financials or personal obligations or family obligations, you know, I've had emails and phone calls saying, hey, you know, I used to collect these, come to show all the time, and, you know, and I'm just starting to get back into it, you know, and you know, how are things going? And that is so refreshing. It's so nice to hear that new collectors and old collectors are coming out and saying, hey, you know, we really enjoy this hobby and we want to support it again, and we're now in a position to do that.
Yeah.
And they come out and they have a really good time.
Which is the key thing. I'm a lot of collectors. They like going to shows, but I think a lot of the time, especially when it comes to perhaps the biggest of the lot, SDCC, where there isn't as much card related material available, they get crowded, they feel hustled, it's expensive, it's difficult to get in, it's difficult to get to in the first place if you're on the East Coast or in the center of America or even an international collector. Trying to get over there is almost nigh on impossible. Whereas shows like yours, and of course I have to mention it, otherwise Harris will kill me, Philly, it's a contractual obligation. I have to mention Philly at least once. but those shows tend to cater more for the card collector. I mean, you have obviously other things going on as well, and we'll talk about that. But they do tend to cater more for the card collector, and it's a much more friendly atmosphere for them.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct.
Well, one of the things that you to a degree innovated on, as I say, Philly did have a certain number of exclusive show cards, but you really went the full mile on this. You do a range of exclusive cards every show, don't you?
Most every show, predominantly for the fall shows, because we also did used to have a spring show as well. And typically, there was only a couple of years we did cards for the spring and that, and it was more of a test market for it. And people enjoy the promo card; they really enjoy them. And we feel it's just a little extra service to both the collector and also to the artist and guest that may be at the show.
Mm.
You know, they're giving up their time as well, and they deserve to have as much exposure to the public as we can give them.
Yeah, and you've had a fairly good, well, you've had an absolutely excellent roster of guests, both in celebrity guests and artist guests at your shows in the past. Who have been your, if you can name them without getting death threats through the mail, who have been your absolute favorites?
Oh my, there's so many favorite people out there, because, you know, one of the things too is most of the guests that we've had at the show, both media guests and artists, quite honestly, they're all good people. You know, I very rarely have any disagreement or problem, which is, I'm very thankful and very blessed for that. But among my favorite people would be like Scott L. Schwartz, Larry Thomas, Aaron Moran, you know, Felix Silla, and you know, most recently, it was our first time hosting him at our show, was Carol Spinney.
Right.
Carol Spinney, if, you know, for the people that don't know, he was Big Bird, and is Big Bird, rather, he's still working.
Oh,
and
Sesame Street.
And Oscar the Grouch.
Yeah.
You know, and a very pleasant man, he and his wife were just absolutely wonderful to have and host at the show, and they're, you know, I just, you know, it started, you know, I mentioned making friendships earlier, and it's, you know, this is a prime example. They are really good people, and they're caring, and they love what they do. They love life, you know, and it makes, you know, those type of people make it so much more pleasant for the collector to come to them and say, hey, you know, can I buy a piece of artwork or a photo or a book, you know, and not feel like, you know, they're intruding, you know. I'm sure every one of us at some point in time at some show, whether it be Big big or small, is approach the celebrity or an artist and, for whatever reason, felt like, you know, they're doing them a favor by being there.
Yeah.
You know? And I know that's happened to me in the past as well, and as well as the probably most or all collectors, and that's not a very good feeling.
No.
You know, but I'm very proud to say that most of my people, you know, our show is the type of show where it's more relaxed, and you can actually get to stand in line and get up to the person and actually take photos with them, and, you know, for the most part, and talk to them as two human beings can talk.
Yeah, and that's a typical comment that I've got from a lot of people who go to the show. It was really great. We got up close and we were chatting to X, Y, or Z, and they were really friendly and they were having a really good conversation. Rather than as you can get at some of the larger shows, and some of the shows over here, in fact, you get a table and a queue and a helper, and the helper takes the money, gets the picture signed, hands it over, and you rarely, if ever, get a look from the person doing a signing. It's really just a mincing machine or a grinding machine. They just churn it out, churn it out, churn it out. It's I've been on the wrong end of that in the past, and I'm not going to name names, but it's an unsettling experience, and it doesn't do the celebrity any big favors, really, when people see that sort of attitude.
No, not at all. And, you know, and we've had our share over the years, and, you know, it is listed on the website as far as who we've had in the past. People are welcome to look at that guest list. You know, some of our favorite people actually have come from overseas. And most recently, like people like Chris Achilios.
Yes.
You know, he comes from the UK as well, and a very fine gentleman and an extraordinary artist. He's been to our show several times now, and, you know, he's just so wonderful. He's a warm human being, and his artwork is just fantastic.
Oh, isn't it just?
Gerald Holm, you know, and many other Star Wars actors, you know, and a lot of them do come from the UK, and,
yeah,
you know, and I'm very, you know, happy for that, and some from other parts of the world, and, you know, like I said, we've had a nice variety of people to come in and exhibit, and, you know, I think it's so important that, you know, they get the exposure, not only for themselves, but to reiterate the hobby, you know, to revive the hobby and keep it alive in people, and, you know, and saying, hey, you know, I did this part or I did this piece of art for this company, and most people say, wow, that's right, or I didn't know that, you know, and it's like an education process, which is, you know, it's just fantastic. The last couple, 3 years that Chris has been with us, he was kind enough to do a slideshow. And it's just amazing the feedback that we've gotten from the slideshow. It's a real education. And, you know, and quite honestly, for those of you who haven't experienced Chris Achilios at a show, and especially where he's able to do a slideshow, I highly recommend it.
Yeah.
He's very informative, and it's very tantalizing. You know, it's very energetic. And it's wonderful, you know. It leaves people with good feelings and, you know, a good knowledge.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's great that sort of thing happens. And obviously, it's particularly good that you get artists at shows, because some people collect the sketch cards that you now get, or they might collect original comic book art. They just know it as a name. They may never meet the artist otherwise, and they wouldn't know who they are. So getting to meet them and see what they're really like gives an added flavor to collecting the art in the first case. So.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, and I think it's wonderful that the manufacturers are doing sketch cards, you know, for the same reason, for exposure for the artist. And, you know, it helps everybody all the way around.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and one of the things, if I may, you know, interject on this right now, as you know, we've one of our latest charity projects is called the Treasure Chest of Art.
I was about to ask you about that, so yeah, go ahead.
I didn't mean to jump the gun.
No, you're okay. You saved me having to try and make a tenuous link, so that's okay. Go ahead.
Well, what the project is that a friend and I, and yes, I actually put manual labor into it, and for the people that know me, they're probably chuckling right now. But we actually built 100 wooden treasure chests made out of the finest hardwood, and we've included 50 pieces of original artwork on trading cards in each chest. Each chest goes for a straight sale, and people can buy it off the website. We're almost 50% sold out on the whole run. There's only 100 made. That's 5,000 cards, 5,000 pieces of original art.
Yeah.
Well, through this project, we have met so many, whether it's on the phone or internet or at shows, we we've met so many artists and have been just enveloped in so much artwork. People that, you know, I've never heard of some of these artists before, and their artwork deserves to be shown.
No, exactly.
I mean, it is just so fantastic in the kindness and the generosity
across
the world.
Yeah. My understanding is all those sketch cards were donated, were they?
Oh, yes, that is correct.
Yeah. Yeah,
all the artists that have donated their time and efforts, and a lot of them that have returned mail, they've also donated the expense of doing that to me as well, which I'm very grateful and thankful for. And we have almost, right now the project contains almost 700 artists worldwide.
Yeah. Which is an amazing roster.
You know, and some of these people that live overseas, it's just the artwork that they do is just phenomenal. And the people in the U.S. here, they really don't get a chance to really see that artwork.
No.
You know, unless they stumble across it on the web or, you know, if somebody writes an article. And, you know, and this is another goal of the show, to really give them exposure to different
artists. I know it has worked in a great way as far as that is concerned, because, you've gotten an amazing roster of artists. There are some incredibly well-known names in there, and some people who are really just getting started, and they're starting to appear in sets now, in major sets and a lot of the smaller sets as well, and they really are getting noticed, and in large part, I suspect it is because of the Treasure Chest project.
Well, I really hope so. You know, I mean, it makes me feel good that we can be of that type of service to these artists and these collectors.
Yeah.
Some of the other things that we have done that are really important. And by the way, like I mentioned, the Treasure Chest of Art is still currently for sale.
Mm-hmm.
We're releasing the second release, and it's the final release of 50 chests, and that'll debut at our show as well.
Mm-hmm.
But over the years, and some of the collectors have them, and I hope you have a copy, because there really isn't any out there. I think all the collectors have them by now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the non-sport update variant charity issue.
Oh, yes.
That we produced last year.
Yes, I have that.
Oh, congratulations. That is fantastic.
I have a friend. Let's put it that way. I have a friend. And I will say no more.
But, I mean, that was one of my greatest accomplishments of all time, and I'm so proud of that book. And we've raised so much money for the Pediatric Oncology Treasure Chest Foundation with that book. And, you know, it's given, you know, exposure to the artist. It's given people something new, something exciting, you know. And it really set, you know, the net on fire with that.
Well, it was such a major coup to get it. But just in case there's anybody out there that doesn't know what we're talking about, perhaps you could just give a quick description of what you're talking about.
Well, what it is last September for our 10th anniversary show, and we have done two other issues, you know, in conjunction with Non-Sport Update for the charity variant issues for the show.
Mm.
Our first was in 2007, and it featured an original artwork Star Wars cover of by Cynthia Cummings, Narcissi, and it had a matching trading card inside, which is just a two-dimensional trading card that replicated the cover, minus the logo. 2009, we created another issue, and this time it was original Star Wars artwork by Katie Cook.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, you know, we had a matching trading card inside, two-dimensional. Well, last year, we came up with this idea, and actually, I came up with the idea 2 years ago, but I really didn't know the logistics of how to go about it, how to do it, and kept racking my brain and putting down notes, and it's like, you know what, we're going to do this. And, you know, with everything, with, you know, the grace of God and all the, you know, people involved and all the permissions that we had to get and the certification, you know, we want to thank the Prop Store of England.
Yeah.
We want to thank Lucasfilms, Non-Sport Update, and artist Mark McKaylee,
because
with all these people involved, they made this issue. And Tops is a very big player in it. I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the card inside this issue wasn't just a traditional two-dimensional card. It was the first and only authentic, official, Topps-produced Star Wars costume card.
Exactly, yeah.
And it was Ewok fur.
We didn't
hunt them down and skin them, no.
No Ewoks were harmed during the making of this card.
Exactly. You know, but it was just, it was a long process, and it was just wonderful. Mm. You know, I mean, everything just clicked. You know, when you're doing something right for a good cause and for good people, you know when it's right.
Yeah.
And there was only 300 issues printed of this magazine, which sold out. You know, if Harris would have let it, it would have sold out within an hour.
Yeah.
You know, because for the first, you know, portion of the magazines that they did release on the board, it was almost an immediate sellout.
Yeah.
And then the balance were sold at the show, and that was an immediate sellout, you know.
Yeah. I know Harris had to keep some of them back because he said if he'd just taken orders from the guys on the board, then wouldn't have been anything to bring to the show. And he wanted to make sure there were copies at the show because it wouldn't have been fair for anybody otherwise.
Exactly, and I really appreciate that, too, because it gave the Chicago and local collectors here a chance to say, hey, you know, I got it. And not only that, not only did they, you know, achieve getting a copy, they got it in person.
Mm,
which,
I know.
As a collector, I know that sense of instantaneous gratification is really gratifying.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, wow, I got one, you know. And I'm just so thankful for that. And I know that's a lot of people's reaction, you know.
And
one thing I do want to say further on that issue, and there's a lot of people that were disappointed that they missed it, okay. If I can plug this right now, I'd love to.
Feel free, feel free.
Well, I have in my possession the number one issue, the number one copy of that magazine. Still factory sealed with the Ewok card inside.
Yeah.
What we're doing for this year's show, since it's our last show, is we're offering raffle tickets at a reduced price of only $5 per ticket. And there's no limit on how much a person can buy. And I've opened it up to the web. It's on my website. People can PayPal me, you know, $5 a ticket. And we're going to have a special drawing on Saturday, September 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And for those people, you know, who have pre-bought the tickets and the people at the show, everybody's going to have a fair chance at this. At 3 o'clock Central Time, the drawing will be held, and there's going to be one lucky winner of that number one issue.
And that's a number that people really do like to get. Is number
definitely.
One. And number ones of things don't usually get out. They're usually kept by the publishing company, or they're kept by the card company, or they're kept by whoever. They don't get out, so.
Exactly. And it's you know, it's just such a special issue. And, you know, I'm just so proud of it. Mm. And I want to make as much money as possible for the foundation this year. Last year, I've got a goal, and I would love to create enough revenue to match last year's monies.
Yeah.
Last year we had a specific goal, and I fell short a little bit, but not bad.
Mm.
In the previous 6 years, we've raised almost $15,000 for the Pediatric Oncology Treasure Chest Foundation.
Yeah, absolutely stunning.
And last year, in that one weekend of the 10th anniversary show, was to meet that $15,000.
Right.
We were $1,800 short, but I'm still proud of it, and I'm still thankful and grateful for all the people who have contributed and supported everything that we've done to create that revenue for them.
Yeah.
Well, this year's goal, and I don't know, you know, maybe with a lot of blessings, I would like to meet that $15,000 again.
Yeah.
That's my goal.
With a fair wind, you may get there.
Well, I feel with the second release of the Treasure Chest of Art, with the other things like the charity breakfast that we're selling, the raffle for the non-sport issue, we're also, you know, made a deal with some of the other folks for different types of things at the show, different types of activities, and that revenue will also benefit the foundation. I think we have a fair chance in helping them with their day-to-day expenses, and they also have a building fund going on right now, which,
right.
You know, we're trying to expose people. Their operation is so busy right now that they've outgrown the warehouse that they're in now.
Right.
They have found a building. It's much larger, so there's room for expansion, but they need help in with this building fund, which there's a link on my website. People can go to that at ChicagolandExpo.com and take a look at that. It's on the sidebar. And they can also look at all the different offerings that we're offering for this year's show.
Right. I'll make sure there's a link to that on the links page of UK CarCast as well, just to make sure people don't miss it. So,
thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I think the show has been a very big blessing in a way for the last, you know, 11 years. And we've met a lot of really great people. There's a lot of different things going on. Mm. And this is kind of why, one of the reasons, I know it's going to sound really weird, but this is one of the reasons why I'm retiring from the show.
I was going to ask you that. It's been such a great success. You've built it up over the years. Why are you retiring from it?
Well, it's certainly not the people, because, you know what, I love each and every one of them. Mm. They're like a family, the Adams family, but they're like a family.
Well, they're lovable in their own way.
Oh, yeah. No, only kidding. I love everybody that comes and everybody that supports the show, because, you know what, there's a whole bunch of really nice people.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's great. I mean, you know, this is one of the hobbies, and I make comments to my fellow comic book collectors, because I'm also a comic book collector. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's not the same. The non-sport trading card people, they're different. This is like a community. They're family. Everybody knows one another, and they help each other. And if they don't have something, they'll refer the collectors to somebody that may have it.
Yeah.
And it's just wonderful. You know, that whole community is just terrific. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I went into a non-sport trading card shop.
Mm.
You know, but getting off topic a little, but the main reason why that we're going to retire is that we have done over the years a lot of charity work, and we feel that we want to delve a little further into offering more of ourselves physically to the various charities, not just the Treasure Chest Foundation, but, you know, we'd like to, you know, do other things, you know, maybe like with St. Jude's and some of the other wonderful fine charities that are out there. Because let's face it, in today's times especially, there's millions of people that need a helping hand,
sure.
You know, and it could be something to make, you know, to make someone's day. It could be something as simple as a smile or a handshake. And, you know, we're so busy these days and so work orientated that, you know, we kind of tend to forget the little simple pleasures in life.
Sure. It does get missed. I mean, with all the news of doom and gloom, you tend to forget sometimes that there are some good stories out there, and there are people who, despite everything, are making do and getting by. So any small amount of help you can offer them goes a long way.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And, you know, and the thing is, you know, I mean, sure, there's a lot of doom and gloom, but, you know what, it's not all that way. Mm. And the day is what you make it.
Exactly.
If you make it a good day, then it's a good day, you know. And talking to some people, you know, I feel very fortunate, because, you know, if I can get up out of bed every morning and take a breath, I'm gratified.
Yeah.
You know, so, some guys, they can't.
No.
You know, so thing is, you know, you have to be thankful for who you are and what you have and your health. And, you know, you got to enjoy life. You got to enjoy the hobbies. You got, you know, you got to enjoy your spouse. You got to enjoy everything about life.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and this is where I feel, you know, I want to give that extra hand to more people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a couple projects I can't really talk about, but I'm just trying to set up the logistics of them right now.
Sure.
But they're going to be very time consuming, but they're going to be awesome projects.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to reveal them, but it's probably going to take me a while to get everything set to a point where I'm satisfied that the project will happen and, you know, it'll be beneficial.
Sure. Well, when it does, or when you are able to talk about it, perhaps we can have you back on to talk further about it. That'd be great. Okay. This question was prompted by Harris Tozer, so you can blame him, but he did say when he heard that this upcoming show in September was going to be your last, he said, is he going to do a Frank Sinatra and have a final farewell and another farewell? Do you think ever have the temptation to think, well, I've been out of it a couple of years, I could do just one more?
Well, actually, I already experienced that.
There you go.
And it's I don't know, mainly I think it was my own dedication and my own wanting of to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Realistically, last September was going to be our final show.
Right. And it would have been a great place to finish, because the 10th anniversary finish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, I just felt that the chapter wasn't finished.
Mm.
Not quite.
No.
And I felt that there's just so much more that we can be doing, and, you know, the projects are still going on. It's like, you know what, let's make this next year our last year.
Mm.
You know, we'll make the announcement, and this way we can, you know, give the people the show throughout spring. I've even added two not so local shows to the calendar. Back in April, I think, I can't even remember, March, April. We did two Ohio shows.
Oh, right. Okay.
And they were smaller, and the attendance really wasn't there. But from what I understand from the dealers, most of them anyway, the people that did come, they really came in full force to say, okay, you know, we're really here to buy. We're not here just to look.
Yeah.
You know, which is nice. It's nice for them, and you know, it creates a better collecting atmosphere. You know, and then I've actually ran into a couple of older customers that I haven't seen in years.
Right.
You know, which was very pleasurable, and you know, but I just felt that, you know, Ohio's kind of special to me because there are a bunch of really good people out there. We have a really long mailing list out that direction, and some very faithful customers over the many, many years of doing things.
Yeah.
So I felt, you know, since it's the last year, let's expand our territory a little bit again and do an Ohio show. And it turned out to be two shows.
Yeah.
2 days in two separate cities. Shit out. And that was fun.
Yeah.
You know, the first day we experienced I think that was the day we experienced the blackout.
Oh.
And
wow.
You know, so that, you know, I know people may think, oh my God, that's morbid. That's fun. You know, but it only did last just a few minutes in the morning, and the hotel got the lights back on and that. And then the second day, believe it or not, we experienced a fire alarm going off.
Good career. Makes things interesting for an organizer, doesn't it?
You know, and it's like we all stood there and we looked at each other. It's like, we're not leaving here. We're collectors. We can hold out.
You didn't think someone up there was trying to tell you something?
Well, you know, the thought had crossed my mind, you know. But it was a fun 2 days, and again, we met a lot of really nice people, and you know, made some reacquaintances, which was nice, and you know, and it was a good year. It was really a good year.
And this is all leading now to the last one, which is on September 12th. Yeah.
I've expanded it. It was the originally it was just one day on the 17th.
Oh, 17th, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. My normal weekend would have been the weekend of September 9th through the 12th.
Right.
But we pushed it back 1 week because we didn't want to, you know, conflict with any other shows.
I
it's an important thing of running a show. You try and do your best not to do that.
Yeah, it's a small market, and you don't want to sort of queer the pitch for somebody else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, I felt, well, you know, September 17th, a one-day show, it's going to go by very fast. So we actually added a second day to the show.
Right.
So it's going to be September 16th and 17th.
Okay.
You know? So it's a nice two-day show or day-and-a-half show, and people can actually, you know, in this way, you know, out-of-towners that wanted to come to the show and couldn't justify coming for one day, and I understand, you know, the cost and expense and things and the time involved. It's, you know, it's a big investment.
Yeah.
Definitely. You know, but for a two-day show, it makes it a little more relaxed for them, and, you know, with the breakfast Saturday morning, which is a charity breakfast, people can, you know, get settled in on Friday night, set up at the show, do a little selling and trading and buying and whatnot, you know, and then Saturday morning you could have the charity breakfast and away we go into, you know, the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really important to put on a full program, but not one that's so full it's overbearing for people. As a collector, you know, and this is, I think, some of the downfalls with a lot of the large shows, is they have so much programming all the time. As a collector, you couldn't sit in all that programming.
No, I know that's a big problem with, I mean, to take the biggest example, SDCC. I mean, they have so many panels on in so many rooms that you are guaranteed not to be able to see everything you want to see, because you'd need to sort of be cloned to do it.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. You know, and as a collector, you know, I would be upset at that, and
some
people are. You know, so I try to space things out and say, okay, you know, well, we're going to have the charity auction at this time, but we're going to have the breakfast at this time, and we'll have, you know, film at this time, and, you know, and this panel at that time, and not overlap anything. So people, you know, for those who want to go to multiple events within the show, they can do it.
They can do it, and still have time to go shopping for the cards that they really want to go for.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Yeah. One of the more unique things that they've done over the years is we have a local robot builder. Tom Jaswiak. And it's fantastic. His work is, this is his hobby, is building robots. And when I first met him, it was really neat. He introduced me to R2-D2.
Okay.
And all his robots are full scale and fully functionable.
Right.
And it's really neat because this year he's bringing out, and actually he was going to debut it last year, but it wasn't ready, is a full scale H.G. Wells time machine.
Wow.
And from what he tells me, my show is going to be the first and only show that it's going to go to.
Yeah. This is the classic machine, the classic time machine from the original.
Yes.
Brilliant film.
The Rod Taylor movie.
Yeah. Absolutely brilliant film. Yeah.
Yep. Definitely. And, you know, I thought, okay, this is great. You know, how can we work this into a charity deal? You know, how can we do this? So we came up with this plan. We're going to offer tickets for photo opportunities.
Yeah.
And we'll take a photo with the customer's camera for just a $5 donation.
Mm.
And 100% of the revenue will benefit the foundation. And we're selling those tickets, advance tickets, online as well.
Sure. So,
and there's more to that project than that's just a photo op is what you're going to get. But I am trying to work out some logistics.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, you know, you never know when a good idea comes and where it comes from.
Mm.
I was at another show and I was talking to a customer. In fact, I think it was my June show. And I was talking to a customer and he says, well, you know, what are you going to do with that thing? And I says, well, we're going to take photo ops. And he says, and then what? And I says, what do you mean? He says, well, wouldn't it be neat to have people go through a curtain and go back through time?
Mm.
He said, man, that's a great idea. I says, I love it. I'm going to do it, you know, so I'm working out logistics, but we're going to have some really cool things, and I can't reveal exactly what's going to be behind the curtain, but,
no, of course.
You know, it's going to be, you know, it's like the Wizard of Oz, you know, don't pay attention to the man behind the curtain.
No.
You know.
That sounds absolutely fantastic. It's a really good idea.
I think people will get a kick out of it, and I think they'll enjoy it immensely.
I did start to wonder where you were going with that, and I thought, don't tell me. He actually found some way of making it work as a real time machine. And you'll be selling tickets for $100 each for people to go back to last year's show so they can buy the limited edition Ewok
exactly.
issue.
And they'd still be ahead.
They'd still be ahead. I'm going to do a cheesy link now, but seeing as you mentioned the time machine, I can't resist. I've got to do this. Say that time machine was real. Is there any... What part of the last 11 years, as far as the shows were concerned, would you most want to go back to?
Wow. That is a very hard question.
Mm.
Because, actually, the question's easy. The answer's hard. Every year, I've enjoyed myself.
So you'd have to go on it a few times.
I would have to go a few times because each time that we've done a show, I feel that there is something special enough, whether it's a friendship or an activity or something that I remember, you know, and it could be something as simple as a photograph, you know, and I tend to take at least one piece from each of the past shows of the past 10 years and really say, you know, we accomplished this, or I remember that, or this was special to me. So I've enjoyed myself thoroughly.
Yeah.
And I've taken a memory from every show. And if I had to go back and do it all over again, oh, you're darn tootin', I would.
Yeah. That's what I thought you'd say. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So the next show's obviously the next and last opportunity for collectors to go to a Chicagoland show, as far as we know now, is going to be the 16th and 17th of September.
Yep. And my wife. anything to the contrary.
Okay.
But we're going to take a break from the shows for a while. Not saying that we're permanently retiring, but it all depends on where the new opportunities take us.
Of course. But people will probably still be able to see you at other shows, because I know you do go to other shows.
You most definitely
go to a few other shows as well, don't you? Because you are still, at the end of the day, you are still a collector, so you still go to shows yourself.
Well, you know, I think, you know... in addition to collecting material goods, you know, whether it be comic books or trading cards or posters or what have you, the camaraderie among the people is probably one of the more important things that I have discovered over the years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just such a good feeling to get together with a handful of people that, you know, either that you know or have just met and just have a really good time. You know, and whether it be California or, you know, and, you know, and I, and, you know, and for those, you know, of you that think that I'm going to disappear, no, I'm not. You know, if Harris will have me, I'll be out at the Philly show every spring for as long as I can. You know, springtime is the majority of the time that I go to visit the show, and, you know, we set up a booth, and, you know, and we you know, we do our things with the Treasure Chest of Art and other charity things and that, and up until now, the show. You know? So we're very blessed in that way, and I hope to continue to do that. It's a lot of fun. The people are really nice out there, and that's, you know, that's the number one non-sports show in the U.S.
Wow.
You know, that's really a good place to go.
Exactly. So, well, it is now.
It always has been.
So Harris understands. I have to take pot shots at him occasionally. But
well, let me ask you a question while we're talking.
Sure.
I believe, and, you know, and forgive me because I didn't write down the facts on this, and my memory is old and decrepit sometimes.
Yeah.
But we did a joint thing with a variant issue, and I think it was for memorabilia.
Oh, yes, yes.
And we had created some promo cards for that issue.
We did. Yeah, you did, yes. It was, yes.
They were a little unique because, well, we probably scared people more than we enticed people, but...
that was 2009, wasn't it? Yeah.
I think so, yes.
Yeah.
And the promo cards were, you know, one was for the Philly show and one was for the Chicago show. And it depicted Harris and myself.
Yes.
And I was just, you know, I'm just a troublemaker. I just like to ask people's opinion and say, how, you know, well received were those cards in the magazine? And, you know, did people appreciate, you know, what we did? And, you know, and hopefully we didn't scare too many collectors off, you know, especially with my mug.
No, I don't think you did. There was certainly, as far as I understand it, the take-up was good on those cards. I was at the show that year. I was actually helping Harris out on his stand, so I was responsible for helping to pass some of those cards out. And if Harris had had his way, he'd have put a sticker over his face. But Harris does not like pushing himself forward, it has to be said. He's shy. He claims he is.
Well, I'll tell you, I, you know, I'm very thankful for the artist, and I don't know if, you know, everybody knew who did the cards, but that was Cynthia Cummings Narcissus.
That's right, yes, yeah.
Okay.
Because there was a pair of cards, and,
I happen to love the cards, I'll be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one of the things that I don't really promote, you know, outside my own home area is that we have Pet Beagle. She's a miniature, her name's Snoopy, and she's 9 years old this year. Well, if you take a close look at my card, my t-shirt has a picture of a dog on it.
Ah.
You know, every show we do, I always bring photographs of Snoopy because the hotel won't allow pets.
Yeah.
So I always, in some fashion, I always take her with wherever I go.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt that this was a good way to give her exposure in the UK.
Well, yeah, of course.
You know,
of course.
So
what I will do,
traveler.
I'm going to dig those cards out from one of the binders that I've got them in, and I will try to post images up on the website so people can see that, so they can see Snoopy in all her t-shirted glory. Oh, really? I hadn't noticed that before, but I'm gonna go over there and have a look at those cards again now. So thank you for drawing that to my attention. Oh, great.
No, not a problem. And, you know, I love unique things like that.
Yeah, it's nice to see little Easter eggs like that. Just oh, I wonder what that is. All right.
Definitely.
So if anyone wants more information about the show, the website is?
It's ChicagolandExpo.com.
Okay, and as I said earlier, I will make sure there's a link to that on the links page of UK CarCast. Paul, thank you for agreeing to talk to me for UK CarCast. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. I wish I'd built up the nerve to talk to you before, because I'm always wary about approaching people in case they don't know or they don't want to know, but you were really receptive to doing this, so thank you again for agreeing to it.
Well, no, it's my pleasure, and, you know, as most people know, that I don't bite. Well, no. At least not hard. You know?
No. I don't feel I've been bitten, so thank you very much.
but I thank you for your time and for the interview, and, you know, and hopefully this, a lot of people listen to this, and, you know, and if they have any questions, or, you know, and not just to go about the show, but if they have any questions about the charity, you know, they can find a link on my website, or they can go directly to their website, which is simply treasurechest.org.
There you go. You can find out more information about that, yeah.
You know, one of the things that, you know, we talked about memories, and one of the memories I have of the Ohio show, besides the fire alarm and the blackout, is we had a pair of customers come in, and they were very quiet people. It was a couple, and the wife didn't say a word. She took a brochure for the Treasure Chest Foundation, and she was intensely reading it. Now, my impression of this is, you know, it makes me feel good that somebody can pick up a piece of literature about an organization that they haven't heard of before,
yeah,
and it's of interest to them, and sometime in the future, that person may do something or show it to somebody, and it may make a difference in a child's life.
Yeah.
Somewhere along the way. And I firmly believe that's what's going to happen with that. And that's probably one of my best memories from doing the Ohio shows this past year.
It's spreading the awareness, yeah.
Definitely. And so, you know, my last thing of suggestion to people is when they come out to a show, whether it's the Chicago show on September 16th and 17th, admission's only $4, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a cheap date. You know, a lot of these big shows, you know, they charge $10, $15, $20 to park, you know, and then your hotel's $200 and, things like that. And, you know, if you have lunch at $20, you know, and $30 admission or more.
Oh, yeah.
Well, my show and, you know, in the Philly show, we're cheap dates. You know, my admission is $4 for general, free parking, hotel rates at $64.95 plus tax a night, you know, and it's centrally located off the highway, you know.
So it's easy to get to, yeah.
It's very easy to get to. It's about 45 minutes from O'Hare or Midway airports for those flying in, you know, so it's a cheap date, you know.
Yeah.
It's definitely worth coming, you know.
Sure.
So, and if anybody has any questions, they can feel free to email me or call me. That's no problem.
Sure.
But the one thought I want to leave with people, you know what, no matter what you do, where you go, who you see, who you talk to, you do have an effect on somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, good, bad, or indifferent, but let's, you know, I try and make the most of out of every moment.
Yeah.
You know, because that next person, they need a cup of cold water, too.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely. Exactly. Yeah. Definitely. Paul, thank you for that. Thank you again for agreeing to talk to me. And good luck in your, A, in the show, and B, in any and all of your future endeavors.
Thank you so much, and you as well.
Okay.
And I'm sure we'll bump into each other somewhere along the way.
We'll meet somewhere down. I very much look forward to doing that. And as I say, once you've got some more details on any future projects, drop me a line and we'll see if we can have you back on again to talk about those as well. I've been speaking to Paul Malaro of Chicagoland Shows, and you'll be able to find more information about Chicagoland by following the links on the UK CarCast links page.
Well, that was episode 37. My thanks to Paul Malaro for agreeing to come on to the podcast to talk about possibly the last Chicagoland show before he retires to do other things. And my thanks also to the artists and card companies who contacted me after I put out an appeal for information about what they're going to be doing at San Diego Comic-Con. Please do try to visit all of those guys if you can. Support as many card companies and artists as you can, in fact, at San Diego Comic-Con. It's not a cheap show to get to or participate in. So these artists and companies can all very much do with your support. So if you're going to be at San Diego Comic-Con, try to make sure you visit the Artist Alley, and try to make sure you visit the small press booth, and you visit any of the trading cards that I've met, companies that I've mentioned, and in fact any other trading card companies that you might possibly find there. The next episode, episode 38, will be out towards the end of August, and will feature Bob Hulsart, a.k.a. Batman, who is becoming our San Diego correspondent. If you may remember, he reported on the 2010 show for me, and he's going to be reporting again on the 2011 show. So if you happen to bump into Bob, say hi to him, tell him you're a UK Carcast listener, and if you're an exhibitor, say hi to him as well. You never know. He may actually mention you if you do. I'm joking. Bob's a nice guy, and I'm looking forward to hearing his thoughts on the 2011 San Diego Comic-Con. One final plug, I'm a little sheepish about mentioning it because it actually benefits me, but I will mention it anyway. Artist Chris Bradbury, who's worked on a number of different sets over the last couple of years, including some of Rittenhouse Archives' Marvel sets, has come up with the idea to send me to Philly. As regular listeners will know, whenever I get Harris on, Harris Tozer that is, can there be more than one Harris? When I get Harris on to talk about the Philly show, I always manage to work in a joke about the only way I'll be able to get to the show is if someone pays for me to go, because I need to be sponsored for the airfare. Chris has obviously heard this a few times, and it's obviously burnt itself into his consciousness, because he's decided to set up a fund to raise money to send me to Philly. He's going to be selling some of his own artwork and trading cards, and he's looking for donations from other artists, collectors and companies for items that can be sold with the proceeds going into the fund to send me. And he's also taking contributions and donations via chip-in. There is a link on the links page of Carcast website to the chip-in page. So I won't rattle it off now, it's quite long. But if you're interested in seeing a very happy British podcaster go to Philly and spend most of the time recording everything he possibly can, then pop along to the chip-in page and see if there's something you can contribute. I have no wish to use emotional blackmail, but I will say this: if sufficient funds are not raised to send me to Philly, then the weekend of the show, I will be sitting in a darkened room crying. Seriously though, I am grateful to Chris for coming up with the idea. I had no prior communication with Chris about this. I didn't suggest this. This is entirely Chris's own idea. And I'm also grateful to the several people who have already contributed to the appeal. They've made a significant donation in just the last week, which is all it's been running. So I'm grateful to them, and thank you very much. UK Carcast is recorded using Pamela for Skype on a Windows XP PC. It's released under a Creative Commons license. For more information about the Creative Commons license, please visit our website, which is carcast.co.uk. You can email us at ukcarcast@googlemail.com. We're on Twitter at ukcarcast, and we're on Facebook. Do a search for UK Carcast on Facebook and you'll find the fan page and the group page. We also post on a number of the various card and artist bulletin boards, in particular the Non-Sport Update card talk board, the Scoundrel art board, and the Trading Card Museum page. You'll find links to all of those at the links page of the Carcast website. That's all for episode 37, episode 38, end of August. Probably another episode of Behind the Canvas will be out in August as well. I'm just waiting to record the interview for that one, so watch this space. In the meantime, remember, one pack is not enough. Unless it's the very last one.